Hello everyone, and welcome to the IBIS Book Club, a podcast where we read and discuss books in English. It's the very first episode. Maybe it would be more accurate to call it a pilot version, a pilot episode. So it's not going to be very long, like maybe 10 or 15 minutes. I'll make a short introduction first, and then I'll get to today's book. Okay, my name is Vicky, and I am a sophomore student majoring in English language and applied linguistics. I'm also running a blog where I share my thoughts and materials for learning languages. Nice to meet you all. Actually, the first time I got this idea about making a book podcast, I wanted the first episode to be about Secret History, the novel by Donna Tartt, because it still is one of my favourite books, which I've been greatly influenced by in my late teens. And I don't know, talking about it in the first episode would be like an act of appreciation and respect. But I really wanted to make my podcast spoiler-free, so people could listen to my podcast and then read the book. And initially I wanted to talk about the character development. And then I realized it's simply impossible to talk about the characters without giving you major spoilers. So I decided not to ruin the book for you in case you didn't read it, and to leave this idea until better times. Maybe I will make an episode about the secret history in the future, I don't know. Okay, so, but today I'm going to talk about the book by Rebecca Kwan, which is called The Poppy War. So poppy, if you don't know, is a plant with red flowers and tiny black seeds. And we use poppy seeds in bakery, like you can add it to your bagels or make a poppy seed cake or muffins, anything basically. And these poppy seeds contain some alkaloids, which can be used to produce morphine. And morphine, in medicine, it's a drug, but it can be used in small amounts as a painkiller. And back in the past, people used it as a painkiller, but in huge amounts it can be addictive and poisonous. So, The Poppy War is the first part of the trilogy. There are three books, and it's been published quite recently, in 2018. The reason I chose this particular book to talk about is because there's so many historical and cultural references which are just so very interesting and fascinating. And I can talk about it not just without spoiling the book, but maybe even helping you to understand the book better. Okay, now I will read an overview for The Poppy War from the Goodreads. And the Goodreads is a website where you can read books online, download them, anything basically. Leave your comments and so on. Okay. When Rin ate the kaju, I will interrupt myself here, right away. So Rin is the name of our main character. The kaju is a test, and ached to ache a test means to nail it, like to pass it perfectly. When Rin ate the kaju, the empire-wide test to find the most talented youth to learn at the academies, it was a shock to everyone. To the test officials, who couldn't believe a war orphan from Rooster Province could pass without cheating, to Rin's guardians, who believed they'd finally be able to marry her off and further their criminal enterprise, and to Rin herself, who realized she was finally free of the servitude and despair that had made up her daily existence. That she got into Sinigrad, the most elite military school in Nikan, was even more surprising. But surprises aren't always great. Because being a dark-skinned peasant girl from the south is not an easy thing at Sinigrad. Targeted from the outset by rival classmates for her color, poverty, and gender, Rin discovers she possesses a lethal and earthly power, an aptitude for the nearly mythical art of shamanism. Exploring the depth of her gift with the help of a seemingly insane teacher and psychoactive substances, Rin learns that gods long thought dead are very much alive, and that mastering control over those powers could mean more than just surviving school. For while the Nikara Empire is at peace, the Federation of Mugen still lurks across a narrow sea, The military advanced federation occupied Nikren for decades after the First Poppy War and only barely lost the continent in the Second. And while most of the people are complacent to go about their lives, a few are aware that a third Poppy War is just a spark away. So, basically from this overview, we'll learn a couple of things. Firstly, our main character is called Rin, or Fan Runin is her full name, and she's an orphan, but she has foster parents who do not treat her so well. And obviously they are some kind of criminals. Rin makes everything possible to escape this life, and eventually she's got accepted into Sinigrad, a military academy, where she's also treated not so well, because she doesn't have a wealthy background, she doesn't come from a rich family. She's also mocked for her dark skin throughout the book, and if you are familiar with Asian beauty standards, you know that white skin is considered to be more attractive. Because in the past, it basically was a sign of your good financial state. Having white skin meant that you didn't have to go outside to do labor work and farming. Now, some geographical context. At the beginning of the book, you have a map of Nikara Empire. And if you look at it, you will notice that it represents China. The Federation of Mugen, which is hostile and aggressive towards Nikara, is actually Japan. And now, a very important detail. If you look at the map closely, you'll notice a tiny island near Nikara. It's called Spear in the book, and it clearly represents Taiwan. And this island will play a huge role in the book. Now, let's talk about the title, the book title. I firstly associated the Poppy Wars with the Opium Wars because, you know, the logical leap seemed obvious. Poppy seeds can produce morphium. Morphium and opium both are the kinds of a drug and so on. But the thing is, the Opium Wars were two conflicts between Chinese Empire and the United Kingdom. When in the book, the Poppy Wars are waged between Nikara, or China, and the Federation of Mugen, which is Japan. So the Poppy War is a reflection of the Second Sino-Japanese War. Throughout the book, we also learn that the Federation of Mugen is more developed technologically rather than Nikara Empire, which is again a reference to an actual historical detail, because the only reason Japan managed to occupy China for 8 years is because this country was more advanced in the military sense and it was more developed technologically. So the book is set in a kind of a parallel world, and nevertheless the settings are just a reflection of our own reality. Now, a couple of things about the characters. In some of her interviews, Rebecca Kwan, the author, says that Rin, our main character, is actually inspired by Mao Zedong. And it shows in her character and even in the controversial nature of her actions, because you can hate her or love her, but it's obvious that she is definitely a person of grey morality. But personally, for me, it was a pleasure to read about such a strong character who doesn't accept anything that contradicts with her happiness and ambitions. She's very talented, disciplined, and even ruthless in achieving her goals. She doesn't let the pain caused by injustice and bullying stop her, but rather she uses this pain as a fuel to stay motivated. And that's very inspiring in a weird way. In the academy, Rin makes friends with a boy named Chen Kitai. He's extremely intelligent, witty, and he treats her as his own sister, regardless of the obvious differences in their backgrounds. So the interesting thing about his character is that he's definitely based on a real historical figure. A long story short, in the academy, along with other subjects, they have strategy. And in this strategy class, they improve their logic and critical thinking by solving exercises which consist of basically different scenarios in the military settings. And during one of these lessons, their teacher gave them a riddle. He said, "Imagine you are stuck behind a river, with your opponent army on another side. The territory is surrounded by mountains, and it's notorious for its misty weather. Now your main column ran out of arrows." Arrow is like a weapon, you know, a long stick with a sharp end, which you can shoot with your bow. So your column ran out of arrows, and you need arrows in your next battle. What do you do? And the solution that Kitai suggested was sticking scarecrows. Scarecrow is like it's a thing that represents a human figure. And it's something that farmers put in their gardens to scare birds away from the plants. The Kitai solution was sticking scarecrows in military uniforms to the boats and let them float near the enemy force. The twist is that because of the fog, the enemy mistake the scarecrows for the actual soldiers and shoot them with arrows. Then you collect the arrows and the riddle is solved. Now this is the exact story from the Chinese novel, The Three Kingdoms. And in this novel, the military counselor, which is basically an advisor, was ordered to collect 100,000 arrows for a battle in 3 days. And this counselor came up with exactly the same solution. His name was Zhuge Liang, and he is considered to be the most accomplished strategist of his time, and has been compared to Sun Tzu, the author of The Art of War. The story found its reflection in a famous Chinese Cheng Yu. Cheng Yu is like an idiom, but it's a bit deeper than that, and it consists of four characters usually. So the idiom is Cao Chuan Jie Jian, which is translated as borrowing arrows using bows. So I'm 100% sure that Cheng Kitai and Zhuge Liang is the same person. Cheng Kitai and Rin are not the only characters in the book that have been inspired by real-life people or by mythological characters. The Empress of Nikan and Rin's essential teacher are based on famous characters from Chinese mythology. So, yeah, there are lots and lots of references to Chinese mythology and history, and it's amazing. The book is phenomenal, really. There's so much to it. Shamanism, gods, spirits, and somehow it's still historically accurate. Even if the names have been changed, we can clearly see which war the book is based on. Quan describes all the atrocities which have been committed during the Japanese occupation with such vividness it can make you nauseous. So, yes, there is a trigger warning. If you are sensitive to any violence descriptions, this book might be not the right thing for you. And talking about the characters, I absolutely loved the development arcs in this book. The conflicts that the characters meet throughout the novel change them drastically, leaving its inevitable impact affecting our characters to the best or to the worst. I finished this book in 2 days, and the only reason I left it for another day is because the book is simply too good for fast reading. It's just so beautifully written. It will make you feel every kind of emotion. From admiration to anger, to pride, to horror and disgust. It will make you sad and nostalgic, and then excited and joyful. This book is so beautiful, it's almost overwhelming. I think even if you're not a particularly emotional person, this book will leave some stirring impact on you, nevertheless. So read it, then hate it or love it, but you certainly will not regret it. Thank you for listening, and see you in the next episode.